This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Shovels ready. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. 3 days into spring, we've got snow, ice, and rain on the way. Meteorologist John Kozlowski with WSTM in Syracuse.
Friday afternoon through Saturday afternoon is the window here. A messy mix of snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain. At times, slippery roads. At times, wet roads. Other times, reduced visibility happening, too.
Tony and Sweeney with the National Weather Service in Buffalo says whatever snow we do get won't be sticking around long.
We are going to have a nice gradual warming trend. Once we get to the end of the weekend, Sunday we'll see temperatures close to 40, and then by the time we get into early next week, we'll actually see temperatures close to 60 by the time we get to Tuesday and Wednesday.
There's a winter storm warning in effect from 5 o'clock this afternoon until 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon north of the New York State Thruway. Up to 9 inches of snow possible in the Tug Hill Plateau. Freezing rain could be a problem in Pennsylvania. A Gaza ceasefire resolution sponsored by the U.S. has failed at the U.N. The Security Council voted down the proposal today. Russia and China vetoed the measure. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
It's really outrageous, and it's below the dignity of this body. It's also petty. Russia and China simply did not want to vote for a resolution that was penned by the United States because it would rather see us fail than to see this council succeed.
Secretary of State Blinken says something must be done to alleviate the suffering of the Palestinian people.
100% of the population of Gaza is experiencing severe levels of acute food insecurity. We cannot, we must not allow that to continue.
Israel insists there will be no let up in the war so long as Hamas continues to be a threat. Former foreign policy advisor John Elliott.
Biden is putting pressure on Netanyahu and micromanaging how he's conducting the war. Look, he has a specific task, which is to destroy Hamas, and they cannot live with any other outcome. So the whole thing here is just let Netanyahu run the war. That's the quickest way for this to get done.
Israel says it plans to launch a ground invasion soon of Rafah in southern Gaza, home to some 1 million Palestinians. Trouble on the Texas border. Hundreds of illegal immigrants burst through razor wire near El Paso yesterday, knocking over guards, and then they tried to push their way into the country. Congressman Scott Perry.
I watched those service members, uniformed service members at the border. What were they supposed to do? Somebody put them there to stop the invasion. The people that ran over them, that ran right over them, ran to Border Patrol to come into this country. Border Patrol taking orders from Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas. That's the March Madness that's happening.
Reporter Nate Foy has more on that stampede from El Paso.
Congressman Tony Gonzalez posted on X, quote, "There is nothing safe and orderly about this. It's a break-in. It's illegal. And there needs to be consequences. Texas is still awaiting an appeals court ruling that will determine if the state can enforce Senate Bill 4. The law allows Texas to arrest and deport migrants who cross the border illegally."
Jenny Tare with the New York Post says some of those trying to get in are self-admitted terrorists.
You had a man who admitted that he was a Hezbollah terrorist, and we confirmed that he is on the terror watch list. He told health personnel at the Border Patrol facility here that he was intending to make a bomb. He was also charged with the same thing these migrants who are processed and released are charged with, and he could have been released had he not self-admitted that he was a terrorist.
As the number of migrants at the southern border surges, Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens is calling for tougher immigration policy.
If people know that there's going to be a consequence for breaking the law, they're going to be less likely to do it. I'm talking about jail time. I'm talking about being removed from the country, and I'm talking about being banned from being able to come back because you chose to come in the illegal way.
President Biden made two stops in Texas yesterday. Neither were at the border. 8 million illegal immigrants have crossed the border since he took office. Countdown to seizure. Former President Donald Trump blasting a move to seize his property if he can't come up with nearly half a billion dollars in bond money he's been ordered to fork it over in his civil fraud case. Reporter Robert Costa.
Trump lashed out at New York Attorney General Letitia James, who filed the judgment from the trial in Westchester County, where his golf resort and Seven Springs estate are located, a sign that she may be planning to seize those assets.
Financial advisor and host of Shark Tank, Kevin O'Leary.
Seizing assets after 22 days? In a bankruptcy court, you get years to resolve this. This is not a good look on New York. It doesn't matter if it's Trump. It could be anybody.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey.
This is a gross miscarriage of justice. Remember, this was a fraud trial. The only fraud here is that AG Letitia James is masquerading as a competent attorney.
Trump has until Monday to secure the cash to post that bond after a judge found him guilty last month of illegally inflating the value of his property. On Capitol Hill, midnight tonight's the deadline for Congress to pass a spending bill in order to avoid a partial government shutdown.
It will take a sprint in the House and Senate to send a $1.2 trillion spending bill to the president's desk before a Saturday shutdown.
When passed, it will extinguish any more shutdown threats for the rest of the fiscal year.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the bill avoids poison pill policy riders. House Speaker Mike Johnson says there are wins for Republicans, including increased border funding.
Correspondent Jared Halpern, a Biden administration plan to forgive $6 billion in student loan debt for 78,000 Americans is coming under scrutiny in an election year. Brian Brenberg with Fox Business wonders if the president is trying to buy votes.
Timing is everything. You promise the relief, you start giving it. You know people are going to sue you for this because the Supreme Court has said you can't do it, but he's doing it in this piecemeal way to shovel money out to people.
Sure.
It's going to take a while for the courts to say, no, you can't. And by that time, November 2024 has already happened. It's very cynical.
The White House says it will provide the student loan debt relief for school teachers, police officers, and other public servants. Energy experts are taking issue with a new Biden administration policy that cracks down on gas-powered vehicles. This week, the EPA announced the strictest ever rules for tailpipe emissions, all in an effort to get more of us into electric vehicles.
These are cars that Americans don't want and can't afford. The rule that the EPA put out is bad for American consumers, it's bad for American jobs, and it's only good for China.
Mike Summers with the American Petroleum Institute.
The American people need to rise up against this rule and reject it. And in fact, they're already voting with their wallets. These cars are staying on lots tremendously longer than a conventional engine. And Americans are just rejecting these kinds of policies out of the Biden administration.
The White House is forcing more than half of all new vehicle sales be electronic or hybrid within 8 years. The Congressional Gold Medal's just been awarded to three surviving members of the World War II units, which became known as the Ghost Army. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey.
The Ghost Army's tactics were meant to be invisible, but today their contributions will no longer remain unseen in the shadows.
The Ghost Army used inflatable planes, fake tanks, and other props to fool the Germans in World War II. One of the last remaining survivors of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor has died. Dick Higgins was a 19-year-old radio man for the Navy on December 7th, 1941. He died this week at his home in Bend, Oregon, at the age of 102. There are now just 22 survivors of that attack still living today. 2,400 U.S. servicemen were killed in the bombing. March Madness has its first bracket buster.
Oakland with a March memory of a lifetime.
The 14th-seeded Oakland University Golden Grizzlies upset third-ranked basketball powerhouse Kentucky last night. Oakland coach Greg Campy.
This is the greatest win that I've ever been a part of. And just the way we played. We led the whole game, right? And every time they got the lead, we came right back.
More on the madness coming up in sports with Randy Snavely. Also ahead, another pot shop in the Southern Tier, a plan for abandoned shopping malls, and Wegmans celebrates the eclipse.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. We've got some messy winter weather ahead. I've got snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain on the way. Forecast details are up in 10.
All right, Kevin, we'll see you then. Pennsylvania's population is shifting as more rural communities are inundated with older residents. Charles Patterson is the president of Shippensburg University.
We do have a looming demographic cliff.
Adams County Representative Dan Moule says fewer people are going into the workforce just as more Pennsylvanians retire.
The people are moving in to retire there. And they're not the ones producing more children.
Luzerne County Democrat Eddie Day Pashinsky says the drop in population will strain an already strained workforce.
We're talking about the workforce availability. We have that problem now, and we're going to be losing some folks.
Dr. Kyle Kopka is the director of the Center for Rural Pennsylvania.
What we are experiencing here is not unique. This is part of a larger macroeconomic trend that has been years and years in the making.
Over the next 30 years, two-thirds of Pennsylvania's 67 counties will lose people. Another pot chop is coming to the southern tier. The owner of Mooney's Sports Bar and Grill has just won the right to sell marijuana in an abandoned restaurant in the village of Horseheads. Mayor Kevin Adams.
The village board voted in favor of a special use permit allowing the old Denny's on Chemung Street to proceed as a adult-use cannabis dispensary.
The project still needs approval from the State Office of Cannabis Management. Pennsylvania Representative Josh Siegel wants to repurpose shopping malls to fill housing needs. The Lehigh Valley Democrat is sponsoring a bill that provides economic incentives for developers to invest in declining shopping centers. His bill reconfigures former shopping plazas, malls, and empty office space into mixed-use properties. Siegel thinks this could help solve affordable housing challenges. Five people, including four children, were killed in a house fire this week in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. That blaze broke out in the city of Jeanette and fully engulfed a two-story home. Firefighters had water issues with a hydrant while trying to tamp down the flames. Christina Harville lives nearby.
You could hear them agitated from where I was. I had my window open, and you could hear them shouting, you could hear their radios. There was serious agitation. There was no water. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying because it was so obviously needed.
Tankers had to be called in because a nearby hydrant did not provide enough water to fight that fatal fire. Law enforcement in Western New York are warning the public about a new phone scam. Family Life's Dee Haley.
The Erie County Sheriff's Office has received a number of reports of a caller identifying himself as Captain Greg Savage with the Erie County Sheriff's Department. The caller is telling recipients that he needs to discuss an urgent, ongoing civil matter with them. According to a notice posted by the Erie County Sheriff's Office, this is a scam. There is no Captain Greg Savage currently employed by the Erie County Sheriff's Office. The fictitious captain says he's with the Erie County Sheriff's Department Warrants and Citations Division. Anyone receiving such a call should hang up immediately. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Dee. The solar eclipse is just a couple weeks away, and Wegmans will be shutting down all of its stores during the event. The Rochester-based supermarket chain will close from 3 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. on April 8th. That's a Monday. Grocery, pharmacy, and meal services will be unavailable during that time. Wegmans says it's making the move so that employees and customers can enjoy the eclipse. Sports is next. We call it the two-minute drill on Family Life.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, there's a reason why it's called March Madness. Teams you wouldn't think had a chance of winning a game upset everyone's brackets by pulling off stunning victories. And it happened yesterday. Number 3, Kentucky, stunned by 14-seeded Oakland, 80-76. The traditional powerhouse Wildcats have now lost 4 of their last 5 tournament games. If you were a 6-seed yesterday, it was a bad day. All 3 of them lost. South Carolina falling to Oregon. BYU came up short against Duquesne. And last night, Texas Tech fell to North Carolina State. The lone 6 seed remaining, Clemson, they play New Mexico this afternoon. 32 more teams see action today, including number 1 seeds UConn, Purdue, and Houston. On to the NBA, both the Knicks and the Nets lost. Nikola Jokic recorded his 22nd triple-double of the season. He had 30 points, 14 boards, and 11 assists to lead the Nuggets over the Knicks, 113-100. Damian Lillard also scored 30 and dished out 12 helpers. He led the Bucks to a 115-108 win over Brooklyn. The Magic, Wizards, Rockets, Mavs, and Suns also picked up victories. On the ice, Artemi Panarin had the hat trick to lead the Rangers to a season sweep of the Boston Bruins 5-2-year final. Adam Fox and Mika Zibanejad also lit the lamp for the Blue Shirts. Edmonton blew out Buffalo 8-3. The Islanders fell to Detroit 6-3. And the Flyers lost their game with Carolina 3-2. The Blues, Devils, Predators, Canucks, Ducks, Knights, and Lightning also picked up wins. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy. Still to come on the Noon Report, Kevin Williams tracking a messy storm tonight and tomorrow that promises snow, sleet, freezing rain, and just plain rain. And the Capital Connection crew ready to sound off on the issues that matter to Christians and Christian values. They're coming up right after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Last week, Kamala Harris became the first U.S. vice president in history to make a public visit to an abortion clinic. Though the Democratic Party's support for abortion is nothing new, Harris's Planned Parenthood appearance does illustrate just how that support has now become a flagrant celebration of abortion as a public and personal good, one essential to both so-called freedom and so-called health care. In fact, at the appearance, Harris proclaimed this, quote, "It's only right and fair that people have access to the health care they need. Extremists have proposed and passed laws that have denied women access to reproductive health care," end quote. Well, contrary to this claim, killing preborn children, whether through chemical or surgical abortion, cannot and should not, at least not according to any sane reckoning, be considered health care, not for the child, not for the mother. As many have noted, when a woman gets pregnant, it's not because something's gone wrong with her body. In fact, abortion is not even safe for women. The chances of complications are high and can even be life-threatening, and women are 4 times more likely to experience complication from chemical abortion than surgical abortion. And of course, for the child, abortion ends a life that is developing. In the case of chemical abortion, it's because the child starved of nutrients. In the case of surgical abortion, the child's life is ended and the body is dismembered. Neither of those things are health care. At least not in any world that's morally sane. But of course, the situation we have is that we don't live in a world that is morally sane. By calling those who hope to limit abortion extremist, Harris has maligned and mischaracterized thousands of everyday Americans. For years, most Americans have supported some legal limits on abortion. As of 2024, 66% of Americans wanted to see abortion legally restricted in some way, and nearly 6 in 10 support limiting abortion just to the first trimester. It is the Democratic Party that long ago became the extremist on this issue. In the past, pro-abortion candidates may have held abortion at arm's length, but that's no more. Last year, President Biden said, quote, "I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm not big on abortion." And then this year, he announced that returning Roe v. Wade, which made America an outlier on abortion permissiveness, is his top priority. Vice President Harris's appearance at Planned Parenthood signaled just how serious this administration is with this commitment. Politico noted that the Biden-Harris agenda is, and I quote, "the strongest abortion rights platform of any general election candidate," end quote. And we could add the word ever to that sentence. For the White House incumbents, abortion's not a necessary evil. It is fundamental freedom. In fact, Biden put it as clearly as he possibly could in his State of the Union address when he chided lawmakers who oppose abortion. Here's what he said, quote, "Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom will you take away next?" End quote. Is he big on abortion or not? Ultimately, President Biden's remarks and Vice President Harris's itinerary reveal priorities that may have once been implicit but are now fully explicit. For now, this administration and pro-abortion advocates are hell-bent on quote-unquote making history by enshrining the so-called right to take innocent preborn lives. What that means, at the very least, is that we too have to be heaven-bent. That whether a political positive or negative for our side, we defend the right of every life to live. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Let's head outside. Kevin Williams. Here is your family life weather forecast. Clouds thickening this afternoon. Snow arriving in western New York. High temps, 30s, except low to mid 40s in eastern Pennsylvania. Then for tonight, into tomorrow, snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain. The maximum snow accumulations will be found near and north of the thruway, several inches. Temperatures tonight dip into the 20s to mid-30s, and then they're in the 30s tomorrow. The sun is back on Sunday with high temperatures from the mid-30s to the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. It's Friday, folks, the 22nd of March, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Gear with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New York Families. Jason, I'll begin with you. Budget negotiations are continuing in earnest in Albany, just a little over a week to go before the deadline. What can $233 billion buy? We're going to find out. Will lawmakers get this done on time? And if they don't, what is the issue or issues that'll hold it up?
Well, if lawmakers do get a budget done on time, that would be the anomaly. It normally is late. I expect it will be late again. And I think that housing is likely one of the sticking points this year as to whether or not the budget is done on time. This week, there are over 1,000 tenant activists, largely from downstate in the Capitol, advocating for tenant protections. That's an issue that the legislators are contending with, and it may mean a late budget.
All right. Well, Michael, Pennsylvania politicians returned to Harrisburg for the first time in a long time. It's been several months due to that leaky roof, but they're finally back. You mentioned last week, and I wonder if you could elaborate a little more on this. They're taking up or may take up some 30 abortion-related items. Why are they so gung-ho on the abortion issue this session?
Well, this wave of legislation is largely being pushed by progressive Democrats in the House, and it involves a range of abortion expansion ideas, from funding to removing health and safety regulations on abortion clinics to allowing abortions right up until birth. Now, the reason for this flurry of proposals is that right now the Democrat Party thinks that embracing and promoting elective abortion, which is the purposeful taking of an innocent human life, is a winning campaign issue. But I'm confident that the truth about the value of every human life, including the unborn, will ultimately win the day. And I don't expect that these bills will ultimately go anywhere in this session. All will be DOA in the Republican Senate if they even make it there.
We'll talk more about what you're doing to promote life in Pennsylvania in a little bit, Michael. Some exciting news on that front. But energy issues, we want to talk about that. We don't normally delve into this, but it was a huge issue this week. Jason, I thought it was interesting. New York hired spin doctors to fight climate law critics. The Hochul administration's paying a PR firm $500,000 to sell the benefits of going electric. Why do you think people are so hesitant to buy into electric vehicles in New York?
Well, I think people follow their pocketbooks. I mean, they see the cost of buying some of these vehicles, the cost of updating the batteries, the repairs are far more costly than regular vehicles we're currently driving. I think people are looking at that and saying it just doesn't make sense. You're also seeing the difficulties in colder climates of some of these vehicles over long trips. For example, I couldn't drive to Rochester to Buffalo in one of the vehicles right now. And so I think that is catching up with people, and that ought to cause pause to legislators. And they look at these climate goals, they're just not realistic for where we're currently at.
Yeah, if people aren't buying what you're selling, maybe you shouldn't be selling it. We'll see where it goes. Michael, House Republicans took issue issue this week with Governor Shapiro's cap and trade energy policy. This is a huge deal in the Commonwealth. The governor says it's going to save jobs, cut costs, protect Pennsylvania's energy independence. Republicans say otherwise. What are your concerns with the governor's energy policy?
Well, I would say based on the experience that we've seen in other states like California and other nations like those in Western Europe, the direction that Governor Shapiro wants to take Pennsylvania regarding energy generation tells me that the Republicans have it right on this issue. Let's take California, for example, which through the power of government is imposing restrictions on electric energy generation, and that has led to some of the highest prices for electricity in the nation, hurting homeowners and businesses. It's brought about brownouts and rationing during times of peak demand, and at the same time, ignored the desperately needed upgrades on the power grid infrastructure in California. So I would say based on that experience, I don't think Shapiro's idea is a good one for our Commonwealth here in Pennsylvania.
All right, let's flip the script, talk about marijuana a little bit more. Jason, the governor is also having a hard time selling this in New York, ordering a review of how New York's handled the licensing of recreational marijuana. We've talked repeatedly on this program about the botched rollout of Marijuana Incorporated. I wonder when New York is going to wake up to the fact that maybe marijuana is just bad business, plain and simple. What say you, Jason?
Well, legislators and the governor are certainly doubling down. We've just seen the worst that this industry gets. The more government seems to double down, they're so far invested now in the cannabis market that they can do nothing but continue to this process of drilling down on it. They're not about to admit that they made a failure in this issue.
Michael, House Speaker McClinton wants same-day voter registration and early voting centers. Senate Majority Leader Joe Pittman says he'd be willing to negotiate if Democrats agree to voter ID. So will there be some horse trading on this, or do you think this is not a deal worth making?
I'd say I understand the incentive to obtain voter ID to restore confidence in our election systems here in Pennsylvania, but I would be very cautious to make a deal. And I could imagine if such a deal was struck, either then a line item veto by the governor or a state Supreme Court ruling that would leave intact the same-day registration and voting, but strike down the voter ID. Perhaps maybe I'm a bit cynical, but I think we've seen this play before.
Yeah, he's been in politics too long, folks. He knows how it's done. Jason, New York Governor Kathy Hochul this week signed an executive order that allows pharmacies to sell birth control over the counter without a prescription. Why is this such a bad path for New York to follow?
Well, you know, if we just look broader at this, we keep hearing about reproductive choice, and it implies that there actually is a choice in this process, but there doesn't appear to be if you talk to government leaders. The only thing it backs, the only thing it funds, the only thing that incentivizes and what it encourages is terminating a pregnancy. That is the problem here. We fail to look at children as a blessing, a good thing to have in a family. We continue to draw lines and make enemies between parents and their children. Children should feel safe in the womb, not come under attack from either the state or any other entity that is trying to terminate that life.
Speaking of life issues, Michael, your organization is partnering with this new group that's just been formed to help women in crisis pregnancy situations. This is called the Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative. Explain why this organization was formed and what it will be tasked with doing.
It's really exciting. We had dozens of pregnancy resource center directors and staff members come to the Pennsylvania Capitol earlier this week to talk about this new collaborative. And the purpose of it is, number one, to get them together to develop best practices. Many of these pregnancy resource centers provide medical care, prenatal care, ultrasounds that are absent in many communities. And yet they're coming under attack from progressive members of the legislature trying to put them out of business to do the bidding of Planned Parenthood and keep the abortion industry moving forward. So we're excited about it that they are coming together to do these best practices, but number two, to fight back against the misconception that these are so-called fake clinics or all of the other attacks that are coming against them. It's very exciting to see, and we're hoping to help them in every way and any way that we can.
Jason, I know you're a huge basketball fan, so I wanted to ask you, more than $2.5 billion is going to be wagered on the March Madness tournament that is underway. This is more than just filling out brackets nowadays. There's a lot of cash involved in these games. March is also Problem Gambling Awareness Month, oddly enough. How is sports betting adding fuel to this fire?
It's just an immense change. I mean, you can't tune into any kind of sports network or watch any kind of sporting event without really being educated in how to gamble, I really believe we are training the next generation to be desensitized to this. And this is another example of how government has incentivized this behavior because it's taken its own cut. And so it is vested in young people gambling. And many of those young people, particularly young men of college age, are finding themselves addicted to gambling. It's horrendous that the state is pursuing this path for them.
Yeah. Michael, you're pushing for legislation this term that would require age verification to protect minors from adult websites. Why is this so necessary in Pennsylvania?
Well, porn is harmful across the board, so we don't want to lose sight of that. Whether there's age restrictions or not, it's harmful across the board. But what we have seen, and the reason that this legislation is so important, the average age of first exposure to pornography is between 7 and 13 years old. By age 17, about 75% of adolescents have been exposed to pornography. And in that age group, it becomes very addictive, very habit-forming. We think this is vitally necessary to protect young people.
Any chance this moves forward in the House?
I think there is. We've got bipartisan support, so we're very hopeful that we can see progress on it.
All right. And again, if you have any question about any of the topics discussed on today's program, maybe you want to learn more about this new Pennsylvania Pregnancy Wellness Collaborative. Michael, where can folks go online and learn more?
PAFamily.org.
And stay informed on all the issues in New York as well. Jason McGuire, what's your website, sir?
NewYorkFamilies.org.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. The name of the program, Capital Connection, comes your way Fridays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're tracking a couple of systems that promise some messy weather. Low pressure moving east out of Illinois will bring snow to western and central New York in the hours ahead. Meanwhile, a storm forming on the coast will bring some substantial rain to parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Here are the forecast details. Clouds thickening this afternoon, snow arriving in western New York, high temps 30s, except low to mid 40s in eastern Pennsylvania. Then for tonight, into tomorrow, snow, sleet, freezing rain, and rain. The maximum snow accumulations will be found near and north of the thruway, several inches. Temperatures tonight dip into the 20s to mid 30s, and then they're in the 30s tomorrow. The sun is back on Sunday with high temperatures from the mid-30s to the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Finally, at 5, a college in the Northeast is paying tribute to a man who's made a career out of musical parodies.
Vermont State University officials say a Harvard course on the music of Taylor Swift has inspired them to create a class of their own based around a different style of musician, Weird Al Yankovic. The class, led by performing arts professor Brian Warwick, is titled Weird Al and His Polkas. The school says that while the class name and much of its subject matter is based around humor, students also will learn some serious concepts, including parody, songcraft, and music production analysis. And Warwick may know something or two about Yankovic's music. He has been an audio engineer for Yankovic's two most recent albums. The class will start this fall and pays tribute to Yankovic and his work, just as much as he pays tribute to the artists he parodies through his music. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
All right, very interesting. Thank you, Brian. And that's the world we live in, folks. Friday, March 22nd. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.